Last week, we started to talk about gifts. People are real funny when it comes to gifts. We can give someone a kind of a junk, inexpensive gift, and the person goes crazy over it. And we can give someone a cool, very expensive gift, but for some reason, the person is not really interested in it. The same is true when it comes to the supernatural gifts that God has for His people. Some go crazy over the gifts. Others may be interested in only one. Usually, it is speaking in tongues, while others are not interested in any of the gifts at all. This morning in our text, we are going to see more amazing gifts that God has made available to His people. Today, we continue our study of the supernatural gifts of God. So please turn to our text. We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we continue at verse 10, where we stopped last week. We saw that this chapter has two parts, diversity, the first 11 verses, unity, the last 20 verses. We're still in the first part, the diversity of supernatural gifts. So far, we know 16 supernatural gifts of God. The four in Exodus chapter 31, understanding, practical wisdom, practical knowledge, and workmanship. Then the eight that are in Romans chapter 12, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy, and hospitality. Then the four in 1 Corinthians 12 that we covered last week, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, and healings. If you remember, we categorized them into four groups: the instructional gifts, the sensational gifts, the communicative gifts, and then the practical gifts. As we continue and learn about more supernatural gifts of God, think about a gift or gifts, plural, that you would like to have in your life. And I will pray for you at the end of the study that God may give you the perfect gift for you. So let's read again our text about the supernatural gift in verses 4 to 11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So there are five supernatural gifts mentioned in verse 10. The first one is the working of miracles. What is the gift of miracles? Throughout scriptures, miracles are supernatural acts that are contrary to the laws of nature. This gift is very close to the gift of healings. It is a gift that allows the believer to perform things that cannot be explained. Supernatural happenings, marvelous phenomena, working of miracles could include casting out demons and even raising the dead. Like the gifts of healings, both words are plural, meaning that it can operate many different ways. This is not the gift that makes a person a miracle worker. Man is only the instrument. God is the agent. Now, Paul does not suggest here that every believer receives the power to work miracles, but some receive it. The main question is, are the days of miracles over? Some people seem to think so, and they will tell you it is not for today. Let me ask you, is God dead? If God is still alive and he does not change, then the days of miracles cannot be over. There are miracles happening all the time in this world, and we don't even know it. You can pray for someone to be safe on the road, and they get a flat tire. But that flat tire saves their lives from a terrible accident down the road. It's a miracle in disguise. And one day we will know all those things when we are in heaven with the Lord. The reason why not too many people have the gifts of miracles or the gifts of healings is because of the danger, the pressure, the temptation to prostitute this gift and use it for personal gain and make money from it. But both gifts, healings and miracles, still exist today, and they are available to those who have the faith for it, who are open to receive it without using it for personal gain. The main requirement for this gift is faith. To believe that God is alive and willing to do it. No special talent is required. No special studies are available for it. No special education is required. Who is not likely to receive either of these gifts of healings and miracles? The person with a problem with pride. He won't get this. Person with a problem with greed won't get this. Or a person with a lack of faith, not believing that miracles are for today, God cannot do this thing, that person will not get the gift. So that is the first one in our list. The second one is prophecy. Well, we have seen this gift in Romans chapter 12. Among the Among the one for communication, prophecy is the first one in the list. It's a big word. Communicational. What is the gift of prophecy? It is a gift today that's totally misunderstood. When we talk of prophecy, what comes to your mind? For most people, foretelling of future events, predictions about the future, that comes to their mind. The gift of prophecy is not that. It is speaking forth the word of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because God lives outside of time, then yes, certain prophecies can and will deal with events that have not happened yet, events that are still in the future. Yet, this is not a requirement to be a prophecy. This gift does not strictly deal with future events. The reason why this gift is not used much today is because it is misunderstood. It is a very important gift for the church. What is the purpose of this gift? It is threefold: for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. We are told in chapter 14, verse 3. It is not to show off. It is for the profit of all, to build up the people, to encourage them, and to comfort them. How is this gift to be used? What is the requirement to use it? Paul, in his letter to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 6, answered and he said, faith. This gift works by faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul will strongly encourage all Christians to pursue this gift of prophecy. And then he will explain why. Because it is superior to all other gifts. Yes, even the gift of speaking in tongues. It is superior. Several Christians, they make the gift of speaking in tongues superior to all gifts, but not God. What is the difference between the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy? Well, the person speaking in tongues is not speaking to man, but to God. There is no such thing as a message in tongues from God to man. And we will see this later when this gift is fully explained in chapter 14. The person prophesying is not speaking to God, but to man. There is no such thing as a prophecy from man to God. God does not need prophecies. We do. God is not in need of edification. We are. He does not need exhortation. We do. He does not need comfort. We do. So a prophecy is addressed to man. The gift of tongues with interpretation is not equivalent to the gift of prophecy. Some people teach that it is, but it is not. They are two different gifts with two different operations. With the gift of tongues, a person addresses God. With the gift of prophecy, a person addresses the church. The gift of prophecy is a very important and needed gift in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul will explain that prophecy must be judged and it must be in total agreement with the Word of God. Then the number three in the list is discerning of spirits. What is the gift of discernment of spirits? It is a revelation of God that comes to our heart by the Holy Spirit to show us whether something is truly of God or if it is a counterfeit. Because there has been so many false prophets leading people astray, it is therefore very important to discern whether or not a person is giving a true prophecy of God. Satan deceived Eve with a message that was a little different from what God had given to her husband. Little different. Jesus discerned the voice of Satan when Peter rebuked him for saying that he was going to die. Being a good counterfeiter, Satan has been able to counterfeit just about every work of God. So it is super important to discern whether or not a work is of God or if it is of the enemy. That's why God, in His love for us, not wanting that we would be deceived, gave us this gift of discernment of spirits. It is important to have this gift of discernment of spirit, not only to discern what some people are doing or saying, but also to be able to discern what comes to our own minds. Is it coming from God? Is it coming from my flesh? Is it coming from Satan? In the early church, there were tons of false prophets, and this gift was very important. But it does not mean that this gift was only for the early church. We face the very same problems today, and we need this gift today. We cannot tell by the way they look or by what they say. Now, what is the requirement to get this gift? A person must be born again. This is the basic requirement. This gift, as well as all the other gifts of the Spirit, is denied to unbelievers. We saw earlier 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says there that the natural man, the one that is not born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit. He cannot. So how does this gift work? Not always the same way. Sometimes we have an uneasy feeling about somebody or something, and we cannot understand why. I'm not talking about the gift of suspicion that some people have. Something might not be obvious, but our spirit inside knows right away that this particular thing or this particular person is not real. And we cannot explain why. Other times, we can tell right away that it is not of God by what is said or what is done. It is totally contrary to the word of God, as mentioned in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. So that is very easy. At times, it works in conjunction with the word of knowledge. God simply gives the person a word of knowledge, a revelation, to discern that this thing is false. It comes to the mind. Jesus clearly speaks, this is phony. So it works with the word of knowledge, discernment of spirit. It is a very important gift to have because false prophets, false teachers do not look like wolves. They look like sheep. God who loves us has this gift for us so we might be protected from those who profess to be what they are not, trying to deceive us and lead us astray. Someone with the gift of discernment should be present when the gift of prophecy or the gift of speaking in tongues are used. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, Paul will say, when we get there in a few weeks, let the prophet speak and let the others judge or discern. So the gift of discerning of spirit is not judging people, but judging the spirit behind the action, whether it is divine, whether it is evil, or if it is fleshly. So we need this gift of discerning of spirit in order to be able to test the spirit and see if they are of God or not. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is of the Lord said. When the conduct of people differs from the norm specified in Scripture, then those who have the gift of discernment ought to expose the truth from the lie. Those with the gifts of discernment are equipped by the Holy Spirit to instantly recognize a spirit of falsehood, like a bank teller is able to detect a counterfeit bill. Now, the last two communicational gifts, see how smooth? have caused a lot of controversy in the Corinthian church, as it still does today. Gift number four in our list today, different kinds of tongues. What is the gift of tongues? It is speaking through the ability of the Holy Spirit, a language that we have not naturally obtained or learned. It is not the gift of being able to pick up languages quickly in a natural way. It is the ability to worship God, to communicate with God in a language that we have never studied or learned. A language prompted by the Holy Spirit. What is it used for? Well, for two things. Number one, to worship God. And number two, to communicate with God. Not to communicate with men. It can be done either through prayer or singing to the Lord in an unknown language. We do not find this gift in the Old Testament. But there are two things in the Old Testament that are close to this gift. The first place is in Isaiah 38, verse 14. Hezekiah, the king, was told to set his house in order because he was going to die. He was only 39 years old. So he prayed to the Lord. He did not want to die. And it says there that he prayed like a crane or a swallow. He chattered like a dove. In his prayer, he made noises to the Lord. He chattered. No one knew what he was saying. And another place is in Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, another king, made a great feast. And he ordered to use the golden vessels that came from the temple in Jerusalem. Vessels that were sanctified to the Lord. Then suddenly, on the wall, a hen with no body attached to it started writing on the wall. No one could understand what it said. No one could interpret the message. And Daniel was called to give an interpretation. Many Christians refused to have anything to do with this gift because it was not practiced by the Lord Jesus. Why did he not practice this gift? It was impossible for him to do that. There are no unknown tongues to him. He knows every language that exists. Which one was he supposed to use? Think about it for a moment. Would it make any sense for him to leave heaven, to come to communicate with men, and then speak in unknown tongues that men could not understand? Why come then? Why leave if you're coming with jargon that we cannot understand? Even though Jesus did not use this gift, he predicted in Mark 16, verse 17, that this supernatural gift of God would be given to those who believe in him. The practice of speaking in tongues first took place on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. There, the men started to speak different dialects, language that existed, language that other people understood. They were not simply repeating the same few words over and over again. They were speaking to God. They were praising him for his wonderful works. They were not speaking to men, nor were they teaching in tongues. God has given different gifts to the church, and speaking in tongues is one of them. It is a legitimate gift of God. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that it is the most important gift? For whatever reason, some churches give this gift the first priority. Some go as far as saying that if the person does not have this particular gift, they do not speak in tongue, they do not have the Holy Spirit. Others go even one step further and say that if the person does not have this gift, he's not saved. Hogwash. The Bible does not say that. What language is spoken in heaven? Personally believe it is French. I could be wrong. But is there a language spoken in heaven? The Bible says yes. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, we'll be there in 2 weeks. It says that there is an angelic language. Then, something spoken in tongues does not necessarily need to be a language or a dialect known to man. It could be this angelic language. Another thing, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says that the gift of tongues will cease. Why? Because as mentioned in verses 9 and 10, now we know in part, but when we are in our glorified bodies in heaven, we will know all things and all languages. There would be no need in heaven to speak to God, communicate with God in unknown tongues. But this gift does not cease with the establishing of the church, as some people say today. How is this gift to be exercised? Well, God knew what people would do with this gift, so he made sure that it was clearly explained. So he devoted an entire chapter, chapter 14, to clearly explain how this gift is to work. He did not do that for any other gifts of the Spirit. Let me just mention a few things before we get there in a few weeks. Not only is the person speaking in tongues speaking to God and not to man, but it says that it is not desirable in a public service like here today. The real value and the use of this gift is really in our personal life or small group, not for public services. This gift helps people in their prayer life. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says that we do not always know what to pray for. Prayer is not a tool to get our will done, but to get the Lord's will done. We don't always know what is God's will in certain cases for certain people. The Lord may put one of you on my mind, and I'm to pray for you, but I don't know. I cannot see. I don't know what you're going through. So then we can pray in tongues. The Spirit making intercession for us. And it is called our prayer language. It never needs an interpretation. It is allowing the Spirit inside to make intercession for us or for those people that God put on our mind. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not speaking through us like the devil speaks through a demon-possessed people. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to speak in another language. We do the speaking. And by faith, we speak what the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak. We never lose control. Some churches teach that we lose complete control, but it is not so. What is the purpose then of the gift of tongues? Communicating with God. It is a gift of God to help us to communicate with him more effectively. When a person speaks in tongues, he does not speak to men, but to God. This is rule number one. So if the interpretation is, thus says the Lord, it is not scriptural, you can discard it. There are three different uses for the supernatural gift of tongues. Number one is as a prayer language. When thinking about someone, not knowing what to pray for, we can then pray in tongues and God will know, and that will be strong intercession on behalf of someone. Or it can be as a sign to unbelievers in a small group, not as a mean of converting the unsaved. Prophecy convinces the unbelievers, but it is a sign of the presence of God. The unbelievers may understand the language spoken, and that would be a witness to them that God is in the midst. God is in this place. And number three, as a message to God that will benefit the church. This one must always be interpreted. We need the next gift. If the one speaking in tongues is not certain of the presence of an interpreter, he is to hold his peace or pray that he may be able to interpret. Messages in tongues shouted in a service are totally, totally unscriptural. If the Holy Spirit involved in the teaching the congregation through the pastor, he would not then interrupt himself and disrupt the teaching by having someone stand up and shout messages in tongues. But utterance in tongues in a special believer service are okay. Nevertheless, they must have an interpretation. Only in your own private prayer that there is never a need for interpretation. So speaking in tongues is not a true evidence of being filled by the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 13, love is. This is the evidence that we should look for more than anything else. If we have love, it is evident that the Holy Spirit is in us. And the last communicational gift, I'm getting good, in this list is number five, interpretation of tongues. What is the gift of interpretation? It is the ability, again, by the Holy Spirit, to interpret for the congregation whatever was spoken in the exercise of the gift of tongues. The Greek word is hermeneia, from where we get our English word hermeneutics, the science of interpretation. The word really means explanation more than interpretation. It is not a literal word-by-word translation, but an explanation of the meaning. That explains why sometimes a short utterance has a long interpretation, or a long utterance has a short interpretation. What is the purpose of the gift of interpretation? That the body of Christ may be edified through the gift, through the exercise of the gift of tongue. This gift is only a companion to the gift of tongues when used in a small church service. It is not needed during our own personal devotion or prayer or singing to God in tongues. There are no special requirements to receive this gift. One may have the gift of speaking in tongues and yet not have the gift of interpretation of tongues. One might have the gift of prophecy and yet not have the gift of discerning of spirit. So far we have a total of 20 supernatural gifts. At the end of this chapter, verse 28, eight more gifts are mentioned. Verse 28 says, And God has appointed this in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. So five are duplicate gifts seen in other lists, and three are original. The first one is apostle. Since no one can meet the requirement anymore, having witnessed the resurrection of Christ, that gift has been replaced today by missionaries. They are sent out just like the apostles were. And that's a gift that person received, the gift of being a missionary. The next one is the gift of helps. Again, it is plural. And the gifts of administrations, also plural. So someone may have the supernatural gift of helping others. They know ways to help people. They have that gift. It is inside of them. They got it from God. They know what's happening. They keep on top of who is doing what is going through anything. And they have that gift of helping others. And then the gift of administration. Someone may have the gift to administer any type of organization. And I believe I have that gift of administration. So that makes 23 now. Now you have to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 11 has another short list. And he, God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So Paul has another five supernatural gifts in this verse. Three are duplicate gifts seen in other lists, but two are original. Evangelist, that's another gift you can receive from God to be a great evangelist for the Lord. That's a gift for today. The next one is pastors. Teachers, we have seen the gift of teaching in another list. So that's a total of 25 supernatural gifts. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:11, these gifts are not to be selected and picked by individual as you would pick food at a salad bar. They are given by the Holy Spirit as He determines. He distributes individually as He wills. He does not give the same gift to everyone. One thing is for sure. No one receives all the gifts, and no one is without a gift. A person may have several gifts of the Spirit, and another may only have two. The Holy Spirit allocates to each person the gifts that He wishes, and He neglects no one. The Christian has the freedom to ask for a specific gift in prayer, but still the Holy Spirit exercises His privilege to determine and distribute gifts wisely and effectively. So imagine the one with infinite wisdom and infinite love decides what gifts we should have. And His choice is perfect. It is wrong for everyone to desire the same gift or to try to copy the gift of someone else. Now, if everyone would play the same instrument, we could not ever have an orchestra. If a body consisted only of tongues, it would be a monstrosity, licking one another. So we see nine more supernatural gifts of the Spirit this morning. They are all cool gifts, all important gifts needed in the church. So let's be open to these gifts of God. Let's not be afraid of any of the supernatural gifts of God, not even the gift of speaking in tongues. You may never use it in public. You may never use it in front of others, but that's okay. You may use it only to communicate with God in certain special occasion, in a special way, or during your prayer time to intercede for someone else when you don't know what to pray for. Too many Christians settle for lesser gifts. They are so happy when they pray and they ask God to give them a car. I need a car. Lord, give me a car. And he gives them a big Chevy four-door. It's a real gas hog. And they're very happy with this. But they are not interested in asking him or receiving spiritual gifts, which are of much greater value than the Chevy four-door. It is because God loves us that he has provided those supernatural gifts for us. So we have 25 supernatural gifts of God. They are divided into four groups. The instructional gift, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, teaching, pastor, missionary, evangelist, exhortation. Seven of them. The sensational gifts, faith, healings, workings of miracles. Three of them. The communicational gifts, prophecy, discerning of spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Four of them. And then you have the practical gifts, giving, mercy, hospitality, understanding, ministry, administration, helps, leading, practical wisdom, practical knowledge, workmanship, 11 of them. So as I close in prayer this morning, I would like to ask those who are interested in obtaining a specific supernatural gift of God or any supernatural gifts of God to please stand to your feet and I will pray for you. They are free for the asking. God knows you. He's watched over you all of your life. He knows what would be good for you, what would be not. You simply need to believe and be willing to be used by God and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know indeed that God loves us. He died for us. There is no greater love than this. And if he loves us that much, would he give us any gifts that would not be good for us? He is not capable. His love would prevent him from giving us something that is not good. So all the gifts are for our own good and the good of the church. They will edify you, edify others. They will bless your heart. You will be used by God tremendously. You will be able to do things for the Lord you never thought would be possible for you to do certain things. Just trust and believe that the gifts that you have stood to your feet for today will be coming. God will give you those gifts, and one day you're going to look back and say, man, I really have that gift. And you will be surprised, but give the glory to God. It is not because you become a super spiritual person. It is because God loves you and he has given you the gift. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he bless your home, bless your family, bless your life abundantly with all the gifts that he has for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.